Right now, it is time to resolve this and get to This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And let me just set this microphone up so it works. There we go. We have Cynthia Hoschwinder in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderfully warmish.
All right. I do believe we have Janet Manco here. Janet?
Good morning.
There you are. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And are you sure they didn't ship the toilet seat from Canaan?
She's not sure at all.
No, it's
no, of course not. Why don't go to Canaan and get it? They have plumbers.
No,
The seat was shipped, by the way, from Cairo, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a warehouse. So that's how it got so quick. But the seat is perfect now. It's just that the hardware. But who?
That's where
Janet.
Up in Canaan. Yeah,
Janet, would you or Cynthia? Would you actually drill your porcelain toilet to put in a toilet seat?
I would never install anything.
I wouldn't go to Amazon for it.
No, that's why they have plumbers. And yeah. They do it right.
Call and say help.
Well, yeah. Anyways. So
that's a male thing. You're surrounded by women here, and we're all going to say, what do you
know? No, but it's true, too. That is what you should do. And who would believe when you buy a new toilet, it doesn't come with a seat, but that is true. You have to.
And who would believe that really changing a toilet shouldn't take 5 minutes?
Some of them do, but, you know.
This one didn't. Well, anyways, let's get on to the Lakeville Journal.
Of the toilet, into the Lakeville.
That's right. Let's get out of the toilet. Right there on the front page of the Lakeville Journal, I was absolutely astounded. I saw a couple hundred people in Salisbury. There were 500 people from various towns in Kent at these marches. It was great to see.
Kent was one of the biggest ones, and actually we didn't get advance notice of the Salisbury one, which I understand was quite good. And we have a photo that Mary Oppenheimer was nice enough to share with us. And then we had two reporters actually at the Kent march, which had wonderful signs. They walked from the town green up to the War Memorial, and then over to St. Andrew's Church. And then in Winsted, they had about 60 people, including several students. So again, a march for safety. And the students at Housatonic Valley Regional High School had their own gathering last week on the school premises, which is great. And, of course, we all hope for the greatest safety of our students. And you can't think it can't happen here, because it has.
That's exactly right. All right, from there, let's go down to, and this is, at this time.
Yes.
I didn't say that. That's not me.
No, that's Alexa. She hears sometimes words and just responds.
Grim realities of life in North Korea. This is just something that comes up with North Korea in the headlines.
Patrick had done a preview interview with the two people who did this talk. And was so depressed. Patrick, who's quite cynical and a man of the world, was quite depressed by what they said about life in North Korea. And the actual talk itself, I would say, was even more depressing. And boy, do you feel for the people of North Korea. We forget in America how lucky we are. And I know that there are a lot of things that could be better, and social justice and women's rights and everything. We could all be better. But when you look at what life is like in some of these countries, it just makes your head explode. So a fascinating story, and I think something that we should all read this article so that, you appreciate what you have.
It's almost like when Berlin was divided, what life was like on one side of the wall,
right,
and the unbelievable stark difference on the other side of the wall. Well, North Korea and South Korea, it's the same thing. It's just that it's not divided right there where you can see one beautiful city and the other half of a city that's
in ruins.
In ruins, or just it's unbelievable.
Right, and aggressively seeking to take over the other side of the wall, which I think was less actively obviously happening in Germany. So grim.
All right, we go from North Korea to budget in Region 1. No increase, but the budget still, it's going to be interesting how people react with the budget, but there's no increase, which is a very, very smart thing for them to do.
Yes, and all of the schools are cutting back, and this is not one of those years. It hasn't been one of those years like last year, for example, where it's just like sticking pins in your eyes and so painful to sit through these budget sessions. It has not been the worst budget year we've had, but it's not a great one either, and a lot of the reason why it hasn't been quite as painful a budget year is that a lot of teachers are being laid off. And I remember when I first started covering Region 1, there was a huge vacuum and they were hiring teachers. Our first day of school photo sessions with the teachers would often have like 30 teachers, but really cutting back and trying to have teachers doing double duty as our school populations are shrinking, as the world population is shrinking. So at this point, zero increase. There had been some talk about eliminating the German program. I remember the last time they tried to eliminate the German program, that was not going to fly. And not unexpectedly, once again, they have been asked by the community, and a reminder to people, when they're in their budget process, that is when you come in and say, hey, well, actually, no, don't cut that German program. That's very important to us. So people in the community did come in, did say we want that German program, and it will continue.
All right. Another story by you, Cynthia, on the town grant lists are all being set.
So the grant lists are the list of taxable property in all of our area towns as of last year, the 2017 fiscal year. And those numbers are used to set the mill rate as we set the budget for the coming year. So once all of our towns have said, here's how much money we really need to spend, then they look at what the taxable property is in their towns, and then they balance that out and they figure out what the mill rate is. And of course, some of our towns have very high mill rates because they have less. There's a lot of untaxed property. For instance, Falls Village has a lot of open space, which is beautiful, and people in the town treasure it, but as a result, they have a higher tax rate. Towns like Salisbury, which have a lot of affluent large properties, many of which don't use the town services because they're owned by part-time residents, they have a very, very low mill rate.
Salisbury 1 and Sharon's number 2 on this list, and Falls Village is down at the bottom, even below Colebrook.
Right, tiny Colebrook.
It's hard when you don't have tax, you don't have a base that you can tax. Right. It gets harder and harder to provide those services.
And yet, that's the way they want it. There was, you know, when they do their town plan, and I always say this, the town plan is what you have to pay attention to. When they did their town plan, they discussed whether they would allow light industry, and they said absolutely not. They don't even really want anything. They just want beauty,
people,
beauty in people,
beauty in
animals.
And people. All right,
and the Lakeville Journal.
Exactly,
that's right.
The Lakeville Journal.
You're now in your Falls Village.
We're one of the biggest employers.
You're coming from Farland Village, as some people say. All right,
that's right.
ACLU is coming to Cornwall on April 8th to talk a little bit about civil liberties.
Well, and of course there's an annual talk named in honor of Norma Dorson, who we were fortunate enough to have as one of our owners during his life. And what a privilege it was to spend time with that man. And, of course, former head of the ACLU and NYU law professor. And so this year the speaker will be Susan Herman. She'll be speaking at the Cornwall Historical Society on April 8th. And her talk is called A Republic If You Can Keep It, and just reminding us of what we need to work on in terms of having a democracy and what is civic virtue in our country.
I love Tim Abbott's Nature's Notebook, Traveler Squirrel Abides.
Oh, my gosh. Tim got really excited about this topic. It's huge. We have to do it in two parts. And he sent it to me. I think I got it, you know, Wednesday as we were putting the prior issue to press. He's very excited about this. And it's all, you know, people, there are very weird squirrels around here in the northwest corner, especially if you look over at Great Elm, where they have this one small population of black squirrels. So, he's talking about these different squirrels and observing them and talking about the history of them here in the area. And who doesn't love squirrels?
All right, we'll go on to page A2. And
don't forget Aaron Stewart, the New Britain mayor, and quite a young, lovely-looking person, and is running for governor, and is another one of the candidates who spoke at the Winstead Community Bookstore, which is a great service that they're providing, and that series of talks will continue.
All right. On the inside, you've got a story on that fatal, terrible head-on crash in Cornwall that resulted in the death of a young nurse.
Yeah, and I don't wish that we had more detail, but I wish that we did have more detail. I don't think anybody quite knows what happened yet, but we did get from the police the bare details of it, and they are continuing to investigate a crash in the early morning hours on Sunday, the 18th.
All right. And so long to snow. You see the pictures. Of snow going.
Yes, optimistically, but I'll just remind everybody that winter in the northwest corner does not end until trade secrets is over.
Well,
because it can snow on trade secrets weekend.
Well, Papagaio is already saying next weekend, look out for
Thursday,
something
Friday,
interesting
yeah.
to happen. So,
gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm just looking for this.
So it's good. There's the Easter Bunny on page A3.
Lance Christensen, so talented. You know, I hate to say it, I don't want to sound cynical, but sometimes these Easter Bunny photos are kind of creepy. And Lance got a beautiful photo of exactly what you want, which is a little child eagerly approaching this life-size humanoid bunny who looks just couldn't be looking friendlier. And one of the first Easter egg hunts, Lance Christensen, again, I think captures the chaos. One of my reporters refuses to go to Easter egg hunts anymore because it's too frightening. Yeah. And they go so fast. You really have, it's like watching watching a piranha take apart another fish body in one of those cartoons.
There's only one thing I've seen worse, and that was the initial ping pong ball drop at Railroad Days in Canaan when there was literally about 300 to 400 kids and about 100 parents, and the plane dropped the pinballs, right? Well, the wind took the wind balls, and there's a fence that protects you so you don't go to Route 44.
Yeah.
All the kids, like 300 kids, are all running over, wham, right into the fence.
Oh, man.
Because they're looking up at the ping pong balls, and the ping pong balls fell on the road.
Oh, the old days.
It was fun. Anyways.
But you know, we have to have some fun in life, and these are both fun things.
That's memorable. Right.
All right, and now let's go to salaries. You'll be reviewed in Kent.
There's been this conversation that's been ongoing for several years in Kent about different salaries and their equitableness, and it's specifically about one person and wanting her assistant to be more equitably paid. And then what happens is, even though everybody at the town hall, in my sense, gets along pretty well, that, you know, and people's salaries, it's very emotional for people, that there's a lot of discussion about who's getting what and what's right. And they haven't really been able to resolve it in a happy way in recent years. So they're about to do a review of it and see if they can codify it a little bit.
All right. And it shows you about our area. People in Massachusetts are waiting for the first opening of a marijuana place, and we're waiting for the opening of a brewery.
And we may have our own marijuana place in Winstead, if I may be so bold as to say.
No, I'm talking about retail. And
recreational is what you mean.
That's right.
Okay. So Alex and Janet both went to see Chris Ripler of Great Falls Brewing, which is scheduled to open at the Depot. And I think that he was fairly cagey at that talk and didn't give a lot of detail. But I had a conversation with Charlie Parati yesterday, and they're very excited about having an opening ceremony at the Depot July 28th as part of Railroad Days, fittingly. And it sounds like Chris Tripler is going to have this brewery open somewhat, at least in June, which is very soon. And that will be great. And I will be very happy for Charlie Parati, who's the most patient man on the planet, if that happens quickly, because, of course, the Depot has been very, very slow in coming.
But it will be done sooner or later.
Yes, and speaking of Charlie Parati, really nice budget meeting in North Canaan after last year when it really was very painful. And I think that there's some stuff is coming up in Canaan with probably you've heard there's a conversation about gear and how it's being assessed for taxes, and that is going to create some heartache in the coming year. And But I think Charlie will handle it as first selectman in a responsible way, although it's actually out of his hands. It's in the assessor's hands. But a nice budget meeting where last year everything was being cut. People were really almost in tears at that budget meeting. This year, everybody was happy. Even the library people were happy. It was a really nice budget meeting. And it's actually decreased by 18 cents. And you got to love that.
You know, that thing about gear. They have a thing where people can go in and discuss changes and things. I think it's probably just paperwork. That's all.
I think that it's somebody maybe. I'm not going to say anything.
It'll
reveal itself.
I think it'll all be resolved, and I hope so. Because gear is just an integral part
of this. So important.
Not only North Canaan, but for the entire region.
Yeah.
All right. So now you covered all the budgets.
Gosh, it was a fun week. So we have Winstead. Winstead, their budget's going up a couple $100,000, which of course is a lot in a town. But, you know, one thing they've been talking about, and I think why this story is important to everybody in our region, is they have a part-time, you know, fire chief, as all of our towns do with our volunteer fire companies. And they're saying, you know what, we really need a full-time paid fire chief. And when you look at the salary that they're talking about, I think it's $40,000. That's, plus benefits. And that's a bargain, you know. And I think one thing our towns are really worried about is what would happen if we had to go to paid fire and ambulance, and it would be...
Houses would burn down.
Crushing. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, but just crushingly expensive for our towns. So.
I want to plug this because I think they're the greatest things in the world, and you've got the story on it. The Maker Faire is going to be at the Hoshka School in Lakeville on April 8th from 10 till 3.
Yes, and last year it was at Indian Mountain School, and these are very nifty, and they do have the students from, I think it's Northwest Regional 7's robotics team is coming. And actually, the Hoosie robotics team, which is fantastic,
and
is
having
is
a
busy.
Lot of success this year. Yeah, they're
yeah,
on the road.
They're yeah. out on the road. So they are not able to be there. But yeah, definitely, these maker fairs are always really interesting.
All right. You've got the Art of Craft Soul Train Gallery has an art show coming up.
I love Gail Jacobson so much. She knows I love her. I adore her. I have much of her work in my house, and it's all interesting and quirky, and she's just the funniest imagination and takes stuff she finds and makes great stuff out of it. So she's one of the founders of Art at the Dump in Cornwall, which is coming up April 21 and 22. And if you have never been, you really ought to go. It's a fundraiser for the Cornwall Consolidated School Art Department. But Gail is just, she used to have a website called Can't Stop Making Things, and she just can't stop making things, and all of it is great looking. So she's got a show of the broad range of her work, which is extremely broad, and it's at the Souterrain Gallery, which is in West Cornwall near the Covered Bridge, underneath the Wish House shop at the Souterrain Gallery, and the opening is this weekend, and the show will be up until May.
And a new director at the Kent Memorial Library, I like people by the name of Marshall.
Yes, Sarah Marshall, no relation, of course. And she had been the children's room director for many years and will be stepping in for Donna Miller, who's retiring. And then a story about one of my all-time favorite people. I love everybody in this issue. What can I say? William Consolving, one of the most delightful people you'll ever meet, had written a man of long experience in Hollywood, has written historical novels, has written screenplays, has produced fascinating, funny, infectiously affectionate person. And the husband of Susan Consolving, the resident poet at the Hotchkiss School, he is doing a one-man show about Walt Whitman that he wrote. And he actually wrote it for another friend of his who's an actor, and he's kind of perfecting it. He had done it earlier, I think last November, at the Scoville Library in Salisbury, and he is doing it again coming up, I think, on April 14th. Yes, April 14th at 4 p.m. It's free. It's super fun. You should totally go.
All right. I want to very quickly talk about the Penguin Plunge, which happened at Highland Lake, raised $100,000. But our splash, the Spring Splash, is coming up on April 8th.
April 8th at the Town Grove. And I thought that we had details on it. Yes, we do.
Yes, you do.
The Spring Splash is April 8th, and all the times and everything that you need to go. And, of course, fundraisers. That one is for the John Rice Alumni Scholarship at Housatonic, and also for the very important Jane Lloyd Fund. The Penguin Plunge in Winstead, this is the first time I've gone. Holy smokes, that is a big deal, that Penguin Plunge. Yeah. They had about 120 people come in, many of them in costumes, and there's this incredible guy who I feel like I need to know more about, whose name is Matt Smith. And has been doing it since 2004, just happened to be out snowmobiling on the lake, which tells you what kind of weather that particular penguin plunge was, and saw these people jumping in the water and decided he wanted to do it too. And he, out of $100,000 that they raised for Special Olympics and for LARC and Camp Mo, he and his family raised $60,000 of that. That is a bunch of money.
That's a ton of money.
And a fun event. And great photo of Dan Nemergut, the athletic director at Wamogo, wearing a cheerleader outfit, what can I say? But it really, really great event. And they had a little fishing tournament, and
The
fish never showed up. And, you know, and it says the water was only 3.5 feet. So I just want to clarify, 3.5 feet at the shore, of course, is quite deep in the center. And, of course, that lake is open earlier. It was explained to me that that's a trophy fish and trout and bass lake. I don't know what that means, but apparently it opens earlier than other lakes, which I believe all fishing opens, I think, the second Saturday of April.
All right, I want to go on to the editorial page, Preserving Local History.
Yeah, this is about the archives of the Lakeville Journal that reside at Scoville Memorial Library in Salisbury. And people may have a vague awareness of that if they aren't genealogists or historians and may not go there as often as our columnist Norma Galais does to write her Turning Back the Pages column. She goes there to research what happened 25, 50, and 100 years ago and gets it in the paper every week. And that's where the information is from 1897 up to the present. So we have had over these many years the archives in microfilm and in hard copy, bound books for people at Scoville. Other libraries have it so that you can view the archives on computer and turn them into files and email them and everything, but it's an expensive proposition. And thankfully, Claudia Kane, the director over at the library, came up with an idea to digitize the whole collection, and it includes all of the Lakeville Journal copies as well as the Western News copies and Western Connecticut News copies, and it's just so much of the information about our region that is nowhere else. So it is worthwhile to try to preserve this. Not that I'm prejudiced, but it is. And anyone who has family around here or friends or cares about the area, there's always something interesting to find in these historical copies. So we're in the middle of a campaign to support this project and have gathered more than $15,000 in support to date and need to get up to $25,000. So this is an explanation of what is happening and how you can donate to Scoble Memorial Library and have, the benefit of supporting them and doing this.
All right. Lots of letters, guns, politics, and bear hunting, and also your viewpoint. It's lots of different sections on it. And there is Agnes Nowicki. We wished her a happy birthday when she
live
turned.
Live and in person.
Isn't that a great photo of her?
100. 100.
So, if you want to get to be 100, just keep having birthdays. That's wisdom.
That's amazing. All right. We've got Compass, and also you've got the real estate section to talk about.
That's Tri-Corner. That's right. Tri-Corner Real Estate. And it's always fun at this time of year as we're thinking about nesting. And of course, we have our spring tonic coming up in a couple weeks, which Alexander Wilburn put together. That's going to be great. So we've got Compass, we have Marston Epworth, and it's always a privilege to read anything that Marston writes about cooking, especially Asian cooking. And Marston's just funny. And she said I only had to come home and think about it two or three times before I dropped $35 to buy Vietnamese home cooking. She, of course, former resident of China, an incredible, astonishing cook. And she goes through this cookbook and recommends really why it's good. And what you can cook from it. Mark Plotkin, who is a writer that Ann Day has been cultivating, he is actually in Washington, D.C., and a very sober review of 7 Days in Entebbe, talking about the historical perspective, remembering what it was like to live through that, to watch it, and then to watch this movie that recreates it and maybe doesn't feel as optimistic as he remembers it. You know, at the time thinking it was very heroic and now thinking, gosh, that's pretty grim. We have the wonderful Emily Gates talking about a show of master drawings at the Clark, which she describes as really like a walk through 20th century art history. And how lucky are we to have that so close to us here in the area and to have it at the Clark, which is a beautiful, beautiful museum, and especially as the snow is melting, and pretty soon they'll have the outdoor fountains and pools going, and it's just a nice day trip. Leon Graham, speaking of North Korea, writing about Stalin, and the unexpectedly, as he says, you just can't believe it's so funny, and there it is, the death of Stalin, talking about the brutal Stalin regime in Russia, all the people that died, and Marshall's nodding and said, you must have seen it, you liked it.
No, I'm nodding that we're running out of time.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's my, yeah, okay. Anne gets more time, I'll just say. Okay, so Peter Kirkulays at the Standard Space Gallery. I just love his work. He just sort of takes like stuff you'd find in the workshop and he makes these cool big sculptures. And if you go to Standard Space on the weekends when it's open, owner Theo Colom has often baked some fresh bread. And how's that?
Yeah, all that and more in the Lakeville Journal this week.
And not only in the Lakeville Journal, but tricornernews.com and on Facebook.
Thank you so much.
We will speak to you guys next week.
We'll see you next week.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.